Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conservative conversation. You found this either through the link that I've given you today, or if you found this on the archives, you probably also found it through the link or the website, which you can also get to the show. But you can also get to the website through the show, to the homepage. You will find it underneath the description of the show. Also, you'll find my Twitter there as well if you'd like to make any tweets. And you can also follow the show by clicking the little follow button under the show's icon, and I'd appreciate if you would. Now, last night, we had a great discussion, lots of participation in the show last night, and we were discussing how the Facebook, the social media's Facebook, State for Newt pages, have some of them have switched on, switched over to the to for state, whatever it is, for Romney page. There's been a lot of reasons that we heard last night, and if you missed last night's show, I would suggest for the people listening live and for the people who are listening to the archives later to check out that show, and so you could hear it. It was very lively, lots of good conversation, some great information out there. So you know, we're going to go ahead and continue on tonight, just in case some of the folks who were on last night would like to add on to what they said that evening or last evening, or if they'd like to bring up something else, if new information, or for those who did not get the opportunity to call in last night, to go ahead and do so today. And the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. There we go. Yes, definitely. I like what Virginia's got in the chat. Says you cannot erase us. You'll just have to face us. Exactly. Exactly. That's one of the reasons why I play this song. And for the people on the archives or those out there listening to the show who have not been able to get on to chat, you can also see those in the, what I put in the chat, is you can also see that video, which is a really, really great video. You can also see that on the website as well. And what it has on there, next to it is a little paragraph, which tells, you know, kind of a call to action, because it's in the Get Involved portion of the website, in which watch the video, and also in the paragraph you will see contact information for the the RNC. I'm sorry, not the GOP. Well, it's the GOPs, but the RNC, where people can write to them directly to open up the door to the for a brokered convention. So, and also a lot of those state chairpersons, chairmen, state chairwoman, are also delegates. So there you go. There's at least to the national RNC, but tell them to open up the door for a broker convention, because then and only then will we be able to get a candidate, which for me is Newt Gingrich, who can actually beat Obama. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about last night was why I believe these shows are especially choosing now to, you know, switch over. I mean, to supposedly Mitt is suspended, and let's make that term clear. It's called a suspension. People say dropped out, because what that does is that gives the illusion that the candidate is out and there's no possibility for that candidate getting the nomination, which I believe that is actually a ploy by those in the media who want to create a narrative, and they actually want to put the illusion into the minds of the electorate. That the person is out by using that kind of terminology. But Newt Gingrich isn't out, and he could possibly be the nominee through a brokered convention. Now, the reason why, and, you know, why I say that is because Newt Gingrich has suspended his campaign for quite some time now, and yet the pages still remain for Newt, which is great for me because, as I said, I'm a Newt supporter. But I think that the reason that they picked now to do it is because I think the message is starting to get out there that people are becoming more and more aware, not of what a broker convention is or even that broker conventions have existed, period, but they're also starting to become aware of the history of a broker convention and that, you know, GOP nominees that win on the first ballot and were not incumbents, they lose in the general election. Also, there's not been a moderate Republican to win in the general election for over 40 years. So I think the one of the reasons why that they're changing these names is because I believe that the Romney people are starting to panic. I think they're starting to become concerned as the information, and that's because of the people who listen to these shows, and there's other new shows which are part of the conservative conversation, and which you can also find on the website a link to there to the conservative conversation. You just see that at the bottom of the About the Show page on Bard's Logic Political Talk, the website, and you'll see a link that goes to Conservative Conversation. And on there, you will also see a link towards Charlotte Dively's show, which is Pray USA. And you'll also find Samuel Sanford's show, which is from, and the, all these shows are Eastern time, and this is from 10 p.m. to midnight. And then you also have Mark Prasik's show, which is midnight to 2, in which he has a live video chat. So that's six full hours right there of conservative talk, and all those shows are supporters of Newt Gingrich. Now, I digressed there a little bit, but I wanted to get that out for the other ones. And also, actually, there is another show I want to mention that's not on the Conservative Conversation on that page where you find the other shows. Is there's a new show called Tex and Rex, which is on Blog Talk Radio, which you can find them on Friday and Saturday evenings between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Now, I think these, as I said, I think that they're panicking. I think they're starting to become concerned, you know, the people who are running these, you know, who's running these Romney pages, because they see that more and more people are becoming aware, you know, of that. And another thing is, you know, they're starting to see the public in general, especially all the gaffes that Mitt Romney is starting to, you know, show how much of a blunder he really is. So the way I like to start the show is what I'd like to do is I would like to play a few clips of the Joe Scarborough show. And one of the people you will hear, I believe it's in the second clip that I have. I've got three clips on it of the Joe Scarborough show, where they discuss Romney's, you know, faux pas, you know, in London. And as on the second clip, as I was saying, you will hear the voice of Michael Steele, who was once, of course, the place where Renz Priebus is sitting now as the head of the RNC. And we could talk about that as well, if people like to, about why we have Renz Priebus now instead of Michael Steele. You know, I know there was some, you know, from my understanding, some controversy surrounding Steele, but even behind that, there's some speculation that, you know, he wanted, or even still wants, a broker convention for the GOP nominee, and that's something he supports, and Renz Priebus does not. And because this is something that's been in plan for a long time, and we could discuss that later on as well. But without further ado, I will play the first clip of the Joe Scarborough show about Romney in London.
Mitt Romney would go to London and decide to start criticizing how they're running the Olympic Games. I mean, what's he going to do in Israel? Look around and go, you know what?
I'm a tad bit worried about the trip to Israel.
I think the Palestinians probably should have all of Jerusalem. I mean, and then what's he going to do in Poland? Say Hitler was right. No, you don't do
this. What's he
going
to do, Polish jokes?
What's he doing? Be a Polish joke in Poland.
All right.
Boy,
well,
what a stumble yesterday.
That was a big stumble. That's our lead story this morning, and obviously it has an Olympic connection, so we'll go to Willie Geist in London for that. Willie.
Mika, I got to show you a couple of the papers this morning. The covers are all, of course, about the opening ceremony, but inside the Daily Mail, who invited party pooper Romney?
Oh, no.
That's the headline there.
Then
another of the newspapers, the London Times, says, "Nowhere man Romney loses his way with gaffe about the games." They're taking this awfully personally over here, outraged over the comment Mitt Romney made to Brian Williams in an interview a couple of nights ago. The Daily Mail headline also, "Romney's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day in London." From
well,
the Guardian
Lord.
Website, Mitt Romney's Olympic blunder stuns number 10 and hands gift to Obama. The headlines all coming in response to this comment made about London's readiness for the games.
in the short time you've been here in London, do they look ready to your experienced eye?
You know, it's hard to know just how well it will turn out. There are a few things that were disconcerting. The stories about the private security firm not having enough people, the supposed strike of the immigration and customs officials, that obviously is not something which is encouraging. Because in the games, there are three parts that make games successful. Number one, of course, are the athletes. That's what overwhelmingly the games are about. Number two are the volunteers, and they'll have great volunteers here. But number three are the people of the country. Do they come together and celebrate the Olympic moment? And that's something which we only find out once the games actually begin.
So Prime Minister David Cameron caught wind of that remark and shot back during a news conference here in Olympic Park yesterday.
I think we'll show the whole world not just that we come together as a United Kingdom, but also we're extremely good at welcoming people from across the world. So I'll obviously make those points to Mitt Romney. We are holding an Olympic Games in one of the busiest, most active, bustling cities anywhere in the world. I mean, of course, it's easier if you hold an Olympic Games in the middle of nowhere.
So that's a little shot, obviously, at Salt Lake City. The mayor's office in Salt Lake City was listening, issuing a statement of its own. Quote, David Cameron can stop by any time. We'd love to have him. Happy to send a map so he doesn't run into any trouble locating the middle of nowhere. That's from the mayor of Salt Lake City. The diplomatic tension didn't end there, with the Olympic torch arriving in Hyde Park yesterday to a gathering of about 60,000 people. Some said it was 75, 80,000. London's Mayor Boris Johnson used Romney's comments to fire up the crowd.
So some people who are coming from around the world who don't yet know about all the preparations we've done to get London ready in the last 7 years. I hear there's a guy called Mitt Romney who wants to know whether we're ready. He wants to know whether we're ready. Are we ready?
Then things really got awkward because Romney still had a meeting with Prime Minister Cameron on the schedule. So he spent the rest of the day walking back his original comment to Brian, hoping to smooth things over.
Governor, did you intend to criticize the way London has prepared for these games?
I'm very delighted with the prospects of a highly successful Olympic Games. What I've seen shows imagination and forethought and a lot of organization, and expect the games to be highly successful.
Of course there will be errors from time to time, but those are all overshadowed by the extraordinary demonstrations of courage, character, and determination by the athletes.
You know, Willie, we have a rule here. You never compare anybody to, like, Hitler or Nazi. But, I mean, you know, Jesse Owens had Hitler to run against in 1936, and now it looks like all these London politicians have Mitt Romney to run against. Can you believe Boris gets in front of this huge crowd and is using Mitt Romney as the red meat to throw out?
Indeed, exactly. You know, and here it comes. We knew it was coming. We've seen it coming, and that's Romney bumbling 101. So, as I said last night, we had a lot of people call in, which was great to chime in about not just Romney in London, but also with the topic of this evening, and that is why the Facebook for Newt, the State for Newt pages are changing, or some of them at least, to a for Romney. Changes. So the people who have just come into the show and you have just come aboard, you can call in and chime in, or chime in the chat, of course. But if you'd like to call in, that call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. Now, the next clip I have for your listening enjoyment, it's not as long. It's about half, not even halfway as long, about 2 minutes, 7 seconds, is where you will hear some commentary by none other than Michael Steele. Now, of course, we are familiar with Michael Steele because he was once the head of the RNC, which, frankly, I think that the Republicans would be in a better position if he still was, at least other than Rince Priebus, or some have quite lovingly, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, dubbed Rince Priebus, Rince Pubis. so some people get a kick out of that. But yeah, so here's some commentary from Michael Steele on Mitt Romney in London.
That said, obviously, when you're overseas, you have to be extra careful. This is actually, I'm not going to say damaging, but it is such a missed opportunity for Mitt Romney, because Great Britain has felt over the past 4 years that Barack Obama has not understood the special relationship between America and Britain. I felt that way. A lot of people have felt that way. Mitt Romney's even discussed it, and yet now he has managed in a day to make Barack Obama seem like the favorite son of London. It was just a dumb thing to do. Will it be damaging in the long term? No, but it adds to the idea that this guy's just clunky and he is not nimble on his feet.
That's a good way of putting it. Let's get an analysis from the table here. Michael Steele.
Well, this is a great lesson.
Can you do anything right?
This is a great lesson in how to win friends and influence people. And I think the reality of it is, as I said to the governor a little bit earlier, I sat there and I watched this whole thing unfold, and I kept having flashbacks as I'm listening to a crowd of 60,000 boo Mitt Romney.
Ugh.
To 250,000 cheering Barack Obama and his European tour in 2008. And that's the contrast that you don't want replayed here in America, number one. Number two, I don't care if you ran the Olympics. I don't care if you invented the Olympics. When you're running for president of the United States, you're on foreign soil, to Joe's point, where you know that there are already tensions at the diplomatic level, if you will, between the U.S. and Britain on various issues for whatever reason. That's your opportunity to go in there and to shine and to be above it all and not to be the you know, the analyst of the Olympics.
Willie Geist?
Yeah, I just wanted to show you one of the op-eds in the Daily Mail today. This is on the day of the opening ceremonies. There are two op-eds, one about the Olympics. The other is this giant one. Obama should be on the rocks. So why is his millionaire jet skiing rival struggling to stay afloat?
Oh, boy.
They're taking this very hard, this Mitt Romney moment. It's now spurred a bunch of opinion pieces in all these papers about Romney.
I feel like I'm outnumbered.
Okay, folks, now one of the things that I think that Romney has just done, and I believe Michael Steele alluded to this, is that, and yes, I'm going to allude to this, and I'm going to leave it hanging, because I want to say something about something Delicatesta said, if I pronounce it wrong, I apologize, said in the chat, and yes, indeed, about Michael Steele doing a better job. She said, but I believe that the GOP/E, which I'm guessing is establishment, is trying to purge their ranks of constitutional conservatives, the Tea Party, social conservatives, and libertarians. Indeed, I believe that as well. You know, I believe that as well. I think they are trying to purge them. And I think actually, and I'm going to digress, and then I'm going to get back to the point I wanted to make about the video. So I like to say things while I'm thinking about it, because sometimes I might just forget and not get back to it. So, you know, on that about the purge is, I believe that the RNC and the establishment, because Obama has such an atrocious record, and he does, okay, that they thought that they could put anybody up there who could beat Obama, which is, you know, showing out to be not true. And they thought, you know, in 40 years we have not won, a moderate Republican has not won in the general election in 40 years. But you know what? Now's our chance. The rhinos in the Republican Party were thinking, now's our chance to finally get a rhino Republican in the White House. You know, and that is one, you know, one of the ways in which, yes, I believe that, you know, trying to purge a conservative. And also, I mean, look at this campaign. The RNC and the establishment, and to a large extent, the Romney campaign, you know, has marginalized the conservatives, not just the conservative candidates, but also the conservatives, period. And Mitt Romney, he spits in the eye of the conservatives by, while Newt Gingrich is in at the Georgia convention, you know, plugging in for the Republican Party and against Obama and for conservatism, what's Romney doing? He's out at a $50,000 plate fundraiser for the manufacturer of the day after pill. You know, so he is pretty much spitting in the eye of conservatives. So yes, I agree. I do think that they are trying to purge, and I think they think this was a golden opportunity to put Romney in there. And see, here's the thing: Romney is a double-edged sword for conservatives, if Romney does become, and this is one reason why I think for conservatives it's imperative for, this is one of the reasons why I think it's imperative for a brokered convention, okay, is because conservatives are damned if they do, damned if they don't in this situation, and this is why. If Mitt Romney does indeed become the nominee and he loses, we know that the rhinos in the party are going to blame conservatives once again for a rhino being defeated in a general election, like Dole and like McCain. They will get the blame for it. The conservative media will actually, I think, turn their, turn on the conservative electorate of the Republican Party if Romney was to become the nominee and lose. But let's say that Romney wins. The conservatives still lose, okay? Because then, though, you're going to have your rhino part of the establishment part of the Republican Party coming out and saying to the conservatives, we won the presidency without your help. We did it without you. We don't need you anymore. And if we think that the conservatives, especially in the presidential campaign, are marginalized this election season, prepare for it to be worse, if the case is different. The preparedness could be worse if Romney was to get the nomination and win, because then the conservatives will be marginalized. And here's the thing, and if the conservatives get marginalized and a rhino gets in, that's actually worse for the nation, because now you've just had the two parties be so much closer together as that just America having a one-party system. It's just gotten, we've just gotten that much closer to really, in essence, a one-party system. Okay? And then I see I have someone in on the chat. On the switchboard, but I just want to make one more comment, and then I'll let the person in. And that is with what Romney just did in London, and when the guy mentioned the 250,000, people cheering for Obama in 2008, and now him getting booed, and Obama getting the cheers of 250,000 in 2008, and then Romney getting booed by the 60,000 now. Romney just made a commercial for the Obama campaign. And see, this is another reason why I think a brokered convention would be good, because they'll have all this material on Romney up until now. We all know that negative ads are effective, especially the longer you have to use them, especially the same one over and over again, so they can create that narrative. If they let them blast on Romney now, and then if you get a different nominee, such as Newt Gingrich, then that could be less time that the Obama campaign and the media are going to have for negative ads on whoever the nominee is going to be, thus making those negative ads and all the money spent on them less effective. But at this time, I would like to let in 917, and thank you for calling in. You are on the air. Hello, 917.
Oh, this is I have a 917 number. This is Teresa. I just logged on. I'm listening right now.
Oh, okay. You're listening. Okay. Would you want to chime in about anything? I know last night we had a lot of people on. That's great. And so if there's anything you'd like to add from last night or bring up tonight, that'd be fine.
Okay, I want to catch my breath first. I just got in. I went out of town today for a funeral and just got back. So
may I offer my condolences. Sorry about that.
So I want to catch my breath before I say anything.
No problem. Well, I'll tell you what, I will keep the line open, and you could just chime in and say, Robert, shut up, I want to talk now. if you want to chime in, just go ahead and just let me know, because I'll keep the line open.
Okay.
Well, at this time then, as I was saying, is a broker convention would actually, because of these gaffes, is opening up commercials that could be made against Romney, and let him get hammered by the media. Let the Republicans, is what I mean, get hammered by the media, the presidential candidate, the presumptive nominee, and then let them lose, they'll lose, but they'll also waste that money on someone who's not end up going to be the nominee. And thus, as I said, I reiterate, then the negative ads that are definitely going to be coming and over time have more effect with a broker convention with a different nominee, then those negative ads would have less than enough effect. Okay, so I'm going to go to the chat here. And let's see. We scroll up. And here it says, when talking earlier, I'll go back just a little bit, where Delicatessa says she believes that the GOP and establishment is trying to purge the ranks of constitutional conservatives, the Tea Party, social conservatives, and libertarians. And Virginia is in agreement, which I agree too, folks. The establishment did not like Steele, nor did they like Newt.
Well, you know,
sorry about that. I dropped the mouse, so I had to pick the computer mouse up. So, oh yeah, they definitely did not like either. And there are some who are saying that, you know, Michael Steele was more open to a brokered convention in which Rich Priebus was not. And that might have, and, you know, as I said, they've been talking about this and planning this for a long time. And I'll get back to that because there's some information that came out last night that I want to speak on. But we'll get back to that. I want to get back to the chat here. Let's see. And then if they continue, the march to the left continues. They want to be the new Democrat blue dogs. And I'm guessing she's talking about the establishment. But, yes, that definitely – it definitely looks like that. And then it continues, you know, where to blame. Conservatives can blame. We get blamed all the time. Exactly. They are backing a loser. And it's historical. It's historical. I mean, the moderate Republicans, or, you know, someone even contend that Romney's a liberal, they do not. They don't win in the general election. And the reason they don't win in the general election is because they do not show a stark contrast between the candidates. They don't. If you have a liberal Democrat, you know, going up against a moderate Republican, or let's say this sense, you know, a lot of times when you have a Democrat will run left to center, okay? When they're running, they try to run as a centrist. When they're, you know, like Obama tried to, then, well, so they're moving to, they're actually moving to the right. See how this goes. So when a liberal moves to the center, they're actually moving to the right. Okay, but what the mistake that the Republican establishment and the RNC has been doing, they're like, well, we got to run to the center. Well, what happens when you have them running to the center, or having a candidate, which is a moderate, that is going to the center or from the center, the moderate, they're running to the left. So they're going left. So you have two leftists running in the campaign, and that's why you don't see any of the stark contrast that the electorate, especially the independents, wants to see, you know, when they vote for the candidate. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm thinking that it's so hard to unseat an incumbent. Okay. So let me get back here. I want to make sure I don't want to miss out anybody for the wow the. If I'm going to keep up with the chat, which I love there's so many in there chatting away, that's great because I really love the participation. The loss alone would be a great reason for nominate someone else. Yeah, but the money involved was how much the negative ads. And then someone okay. Michael Steele is a flaming moderate, but he embraced the Tea Party because he seems to think that winning is important, silly fella. Well, okay, yeah, I mean, I know that, but I also know that he was more open to a broker convention because, well, as you just pointed out, winning is important. And a broker convention, if you look through the GOP history, GOP, you know, a GOP convention equals, you know, history. And on the reverse side of that, if it's not a broker convention, they lose. You know, that's just how they go. Yeah, and that's another good point is when they put the 80% of the population who don't really pay attention to politics has to choose between likable Obama elitist Romney, you know who are going to choose. And I've got an article that's going to speak of that, which I'm going to read after these clips that'll speak on that. But I do have one more. I do have one more clip I'd like to get back to. And this is the third clip from the Joe Scarborough show of the commentary of Romney in with Romney in London. And it's only about quite 3 minutes long.
Things could go wrong when you're on a foreign policy trip. And why does this matter? This matters because this is a guy that's going to be representing us across the globe if he's elected president of the United States. This, I know you said this is an insignificant blunder. It's not really an insignificant blunder, because when he's president of the United States, imagine when he's not nimble enough to make the right comments when he's overseas.
Yeah.
Imagine how what now is fodder for headlines and editorial pages suddenly becomes a diplomatic incident. It's concerning to me.
Okay. Well, let me add this, which to me seems more of a headline, but I'm definitely outnumbered this morning. Romney's secret meeting with the head of MI6,
mm-hmm.
Britain's intelligence agency.
God.
That meeting was to discuss the unrest in Syria. Only problem, the meeting wasn't much of a secret because Romney told reporters about it. Take a listen.
Yeah.
I appreciated the insights and perspectives of the leaders of the government here and opposition here, as well as the head of MI6.
Mm-hmm. MI6, the British didn't admit MI6 existed until about 15 years ago.
So
that's, yes, it was.
That to me feels a little bit more problematic.
It is. I mean, this is a disastrous trip from one end to the other, and it's just, there's no way you, do I think he'll recover? Probably, but this is probably the worst trip that any presidential candidate has taken
well,
in memory. Really,
I can think of president vomiting or something.
No, presidential candidate.
I mean, I wouldn't put up there as the worst, but it clearly is a lesson in
think
what
of a worse
not
one.
To do.
Think of a worse
no,
one.
But,
I can't
no.
think of candidate, not president. Not, we're not talking about
I hear what
up
you're
on
saying,
the
but seriously.
Okay,
no.
Put
listen.
This in perspective,
I do think it's too early for us to judge how bad this trip is going to be. You have to see, though, what Polish jokes he's going to make and whether, again, whether he's going to go to Israel. I know, but he'll miss that. And whether he's going to go to Israel and start talking about those poor Palestinians needing all of Jerusalem, that it just doesn't seem fair to him. I mean, let's see how the rest of the trip goes. This was a bad start. And I think, again, what we see here in Mitt Romney is a man who's a successful dad, a great husband, a great businessman, a great organizer of the Olympics, a savior of the Olympics, but a man who is just not comfortable as a politician. He is doing this, I think, because, I don't know, I'm not going to be a psychiatrist, but he's not doing this because he loves politics. He's just not comfortable with it at all, and you can sense that, and that becomes very troublesome for the campaign staff. I'm sure they're all horrified right now.
And not they should be. And a few points I want to point out. Okay, that was redundant. But, you know, when they talk about, you know, going over to other countries, and that is one thing that, you know, the president of the United States does. They go to other countries. Okay? And if you have someone who's going to be a presidential the president, and they're going to come over, they've got to be a statesman. And Romney has already shown an example that he would be an absolutely horrible statesman. Now, when you're talking about, who would make a good statesman to represent the United States, you want to talk about somebody who's going to be articulate. Well, you know we're talking about Newt Gingrich, okay? And not Mitt Romney. I mean, he's bumbling, you know, already. And the people who have been staunch Newt Gingrich supporters have been saying it all along. They knew this was coming. We've seen this coming. We knew Romney for who he is, you know. And now it's proving out. it's proving out to be. And there's going to be more. You know, it'd be interesting to see, you know what happens later with some of the other trips. But we have to do something about this now, because I mean, once that gavel drops in Tampa, and if Romney was to become the official nominee, then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tough uphill battle. So I get somebody I'm going to read here and reply in another chat. Thank you for your patience. And that brings me to an article I have here that I wanted to share. Is once it comes up, once it pulls up. Now, it was obvious that the person who wrote this is a Ron Paul supporter, who wrote the article, was a Ron Paul supporter, which I personally don't have anything against. If I had my, you know, if I had to choose between Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich, you know, I would, you know, side behind, you know, Ron Paul way before I side behind Newt Gingrich. But that being said, I'm going to, I'll read the article. And once it stops freezing things up, so I can get to a part of it, and then it'll let me scroll down. There we go. That's nice of you, I hope. Okay. It says, the devils we know. And it says, there was a Personal Liberty Digest is where I found the article. As I said, it's obvious the person's a Ron Paul fan, but that's okay. You know, we've worked with Ron Paul people. Anyway, so it says, let me warn you right now, the idea of President Barack Hussein Obama continuing his occupation of the Oval Office past next January will ruin your day. Click through the Personal Liberty Digest cheerfully. Presented tips on health. Okay, I don't know what that's for. I guess they're just plugging the show. It says, meanwhile, those of you who continue perusing this piece must confront this premise. Barring a miraculous removal of Republican heads from Republican posteriors, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is going to win the Republican nomination for the President of the United States. That is why we need people to get out the word and write your state chairpersons of the Republican Party, let them know to open the door for a broker convention, or we're going to end up with Romney, and there's so much proof out there to show that a Romney nomination is going to equate into a Obama victory in November. So I'll continue. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is going to win the Republic for the President of the United States, extremely well-capitalized as opposed to well-versed, well-prepared, or well-vetted. Romney will then set about introducing his vice presidential nominee to the nation while engaging Obama in combat. But I fear Romney will be unable to reassure voters who are increasingly hungry for a respite from the unrelenting disaster which is the Obama presidency. In an effort to counter Obama's far-flung big state liberalism, the GOP has selected as its standard bearer a big state liberal, albeit a less awkwardly gangly one with better hair. Obama is dominated by billionaire vermin such as George Soros and Warren Buffett. If he was any more beholden to the union thugs, Richard Trumka would be the Secretary of Labor, and his ties to Wall Street banksters like Goldman Sachs are stitched tighter than a pop singer's hair extension. Meanwhile, the name on Romney's best friends list might be different, but they were all dressed by the same tailor. In 2008, a majority of American voters swallowed the empty race-baiting hype surrounding a little-known but reasonably polished-seeming senator from Illinois. Following a campaign long on nonspecific catchphrases and overt support from the corporate media, Obama stepped into the Oval Office and immediately set about rearranging the national furniture. By 2010, the American voters, fully aware of the spectacular mistake they made in electing Obama, set about correcting that mistake at the polls. And ideologically wielded to Obama, Democrats from Capitol Hill to small-town mayor's offices packed up their family photos, raided the supply closet for one last box of toner cartridges, and headed home. Even the Democrats who managed to keep their paws on their offices had to fight tooth and nail to do so. In 2008, the Republicans offered Senator John McCain in retort to the insult, which is Obama. Despite slight mitigation of the form in the form of Governor Sarah Palin's presence on the ticket, the Republicans failed to offer anything more than Obama light. And the electorate responded with the same lack of enthusiasm the Republicans displayed in choosing McCain in the first place. By 2010, the GOP seemed to have developed an understanding of disdain Americans show toward those who threaten liberty in the name of some twisted or stupid concept of the greater good. Unfortunately, the lesson clearly did not stick. Indeed, when one factors in no fewer than four highly questionable primary caucuses outcomes, the Republican establishment is showing signs of not only forgetting what they learned in electoral class, but cribbing from the Democrat textbooks.
The odd, okay, Ms. Bray, you talked about Ron Paul. I'll scroll down a little bit. Therefore, I feel compelled to make a remark which may shock you even more than my earlier prediction that Obama will likely be elected this fall. So be it. Now, I'm not saying this. This isn't your host saying, you know, Obama will get elected. So be it. I'm not saying that at all. If the Republican Party
The Republican Party is content to react to Barack Obama's almost virtually criminal arrogance by offering a more telegenic version of, well, Barack Obama,
then they deserve to lose my vote, for starters. It's entirely possible that the Republican establishment risks political oblivion in nominating a candidate who only edges Obama in the hair and wardrobe department, perhaps out of a fate they've earned. Conservatives have repeatedly been forced to hold their noses and cast ballots for candidates who are only marginally better than the shrieking liberals whom they oppose. As a result of our own excessive flexibility, we have unwittingly played a part in allowing an incremental shift in the Republican Party away from the conservative route and towards the sort of monster government espoused by Democrats and the hordes of dependent minions. I am no longer willing to select the lesser of two evils on election day. I will acknowledge that casting a third-party ballot carries an inherent gamble, the re-election of Barack Obama. But given the Republicans' intransigence in moving toward the true conservatism demanded by the people, we have hardly earned the right to replace him. Presuming we can survive four more years of the madness of King Barack, another 4 years of Democrats in the White House might finally wake us up to the fact that we can do much better, much better.
So what I'm getting here, after I take a little sip of water, is that, as I said, I don't agree. This is a Ron Paul supporter, which, as I said, I've got no problems with Ron Paul. is that this is what we are dealing with, okay, with the establishment and the Republican Party, okay? What they are willing to risk, what they are willing to sacrifice in order for the chance of marginalizing the conservatives. It almost appears that the RNC is almost willing to have that chance of not just a Republican Party loss. And in my opinion, you know, an Obama victory in November is going to be disastrous for the United States. Okay. However, a Mitt Romney win would be bad for, you know, conservatives, and it won't be by, you know, when it comes to America, I don't believe that Mitt Romney would be, you know, much better, you know, than Obama at all. But, and so my view is, yes, they may replace the man of Obama, but if you do not replace the ideology along with the man, then what have you really won? What have you really replaced? If Obama, the man, is still gone, I mean, is gone, but you replace him with someone whose ideology is damn near, excuse my French, identical to the man you replaced, then what's the difference? I contend that there isn't any. And that might be what the person who wrote that article is thinking, or what Judge Napolitano has said. There's not a dime's bit of difference between the two. You have big government, Obama, and you have big business, Romney. Both are about top-down control. That is why it's important for us to have a broker convention. I mean, and this is what it's panning out, that Romney is not it. This was a perfect example. And I think more and more people are coming to it. I mean, look at the Facebook pages. I mean, have you ever seen, think back to 2008, have you seen, besides the Ron Paul people, okay, which you know, the Ron Paul supporters, I applaud them for sticking behind Ron Paul the way that they do and the way that they have in 2008. Okay. But you also have even more resistance, you know, this time around. And you have all these new groups who are still, you know, supporting Newt Gingrich. Now, that is something I would like to explore, is the word support and be with, okay? Because we're seeing that a lot on the Facebook groups, and that's why I think in part why some of them might be moving over to For Romney groups, okay, or the state groups. To my understanding, they're being switched by just one individual. So it's not like, you know, a whole bunch of individuals. So it might be on a, you know, on a small scale. You know, but you know, with the word getting out, I think they're panicking, as I said earlier, and switching them over to Romney. But you still have so many, even after Newt has suspended the campaign. Okay, you still have people, you know, wanting Newt Gingrich, and there's a reason for that. Because if people have heard many times before, this is the most important election of our lifetime. And that being the case, we need the best person to go up against the opponent. And Romney is certainly showing that he's not it. Now, Romney talks a lot about, you know, what he did, you know, for the Olympics, getting the Olympics done. Now, and he prides himself on what he did for the Olympics. Well, I'm going to play a clip here for you, for the audience. It shows about Romney getting money for the Olympics, how he was going about getting money to help do what he did for the Olympics. And then, if people would like to chime in the chat or chime in on calling in at area code 347-945-7248 on what you're about to hear, and tell me if Romney is any different in any kind of big government, big spending than Obama is, if it's any different.
Lost tape obtained by ABC News from Romney's 2002 campaign for governor, surreptitiously shot by his Democratic opponents.
I'm a big believer in getting money where the money is, and the money is in Washington. I've learned from my Olympic experience that if you have people that really understand how Washington works and have personal associations there, you can get money to help build economic development opportunities.
Just 2 weeks ago, Romney suggested that under his leadership, the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics got no more taxpayer money than previous games.
In the history of the Olympic movement, the federal government has always provided the transportation and security. So we came to the federal government asking for help on transportation and security.
But in this video, he talks about getting all kinds of money.
We actually received over $410 million from the federal government for the Olympic Games. That is a huge increase over anything ever done before. We did that by going after every agency of government.
He even boasts about getting money for the Olympics from the Department of Education. That's right, the Department of Education.
I believe the number was over $1 million of Department of Education funding to buy tickets for kids. This way, we got kids there. We also got additional revenues that we wouldn't have had. That kind of creativity I want to bring to everything we do.
It's exactly the kind of approach he promised to bring to Massachusetts in 2002.
I want to go after every grant, every project, every department.
You might expect a candidate for governor to promise to get federal money for his state, but that is precisely what now presidential candidate Romney has attacked his Republican opponents for doing.
Republicans spent too much money, borrowed too much money, earmarked too much, and Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich have to be held accountable in this race. I'm the only guy that hasn't spent time in Washington.
Well, yeah, he hasn't spent any time in Washington, but he definitely has that big spending government mindset, which actually I contend that it's not that you've been in government that is particularly their downfall. It's what have you done while you are in there? What have you done while you've been in the government? Actually, him not having any government experience will hurt in that, you know, well, yeah, he's a governor for a term, you know. However, how does that make him qualified? How does that make Mitt Romney qualified compared to someone like Newt Gingrich? You know, one of the complaints from the Republicans, including myself, about Barack Obama was that he was, you know, he didn't have the experience. He just did not have the experience to be president of the United States, and that in part is why we're having the problems that we're having. Now, I talked earlier about, well, if we replace the man, but we change him with the ideology, look what what did you really replace? Are you doing any better? Well, same holds true for this. If you have one guy in there, I'm only saying guy because, I mean, it is a guy, not a lady, okay, not a woman. So if you have one guy there who doesn't have any experience, okay, or, you know, then if you replace him with someone else, oh, well, he's got this kind of business experience, and he was the governor of Massachusetts. And normally I say that, well, you know, it's important for a governor to, you know, it's better for a governor to get, you know, to be president than, let's say, someone, you know, who was in the legislation, you know, because they've had executive experience. But when you have executive experience, with a state like Massachusetts, with a state the size of Massachusetts, I mean, how much experience can that really give anyone? Now, that might seem unfair to people who've governed in Massachusetts, but we're talking about someone who's going to be the most powerful person in the world, who's going to have influence on world events. Are we going to trust that to somebody who's the governor of a state like Massachusetts? I mean, seriously, we want to talk about that. So as I said, you heard the clip. You talk about where he's going to get the money. Where to get the money to, fund the. Whatever he was doing, funding for the Olympics. And what I ask to the audience and the listeners is, how is that any different than the way Obama approaches whatever it is? Well, and I see I'm gonna bring up there's. Thing on my computer here that I see in the chat. Sorry, I stuttered there for a moment because my daughter decides to come into the studio and ask me for an ice cream. I'm like, you don't interrupt me while I'm doing the show. But I guess 10-year-olds, anyone out there has 10-year-olds. I'm going to read this article. I'm going to peruse it. Let's see. Wall Street already betting on who wins in November. Okay. And that was put in by, hey, hi, Lugnut. How are you? Glad to see you. You come in. Thank you very much for coming in tonight. And I will, let's look at this article together, folks. If you're in the chat and you're able to pull up the article, let's go ahead and do it. And let's, oh, wow, look at that, another one. let's see. Okay. And then before I read it, it says, Delicatessa has, the man has had his hands in the taxpayer pockets just the same, and talk about Romney, just the same as Obama. He's just from the other side of the crony capitalism coin. Well, yes, I mean, you have a liberal and, what I call a social liberal and Obama, where he wants to take the tax money and redistribute the redistribution of wealth, or just spread the wealth, I guess, to what he would consider, what he claims is the lower class. I've got some contentions against that. But then you have what is a corporate socialist, which is Romney, who wants to take our tax dollars and wants to redistribute it out to businesses. So it's still either way redistribution of wealth. It's just who does that money go to? It's coming out of the people's pocket and going into, somewhere else. Okay, but I want to get to the article because I'm curious about that too. It says, within just 100 days left until the U.S. presidential campaign or election, sorry, investors are beginning to make bigger bets on which candidate that will carry the day or will carry the day. One analyst concludes that last week's sharp 3-day market surge can only mean that Wall Street is banking. Interesting. Well, they better be careful. Banking on a victory from Republican Mitt Romney. Yeah. They don't know their history, do they? Says that's the logical interpretation one could draw from a rally amid conditions that otherwise would demand a sell-off. Morgan Stanley chief, blah, blah, blah. Now, sell-off. Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Adam S. Parker said in analysis that asserts there's no other reason now to like stocks than selling. Okay, let's see. Let's see how this one plays out and see what people want to comment on it. It says, the problem is that it's impossible to be bullish and right for the right reasons, Parker said in a note to clients in which he reiterated a 2012 price target for the Standard & Poor's, which will mark a 12% drop. Okay, the numbers aren't going to mean anything to anybody, I don't think. If they do, I'll continue and read the numbers off if you'd like me to. But I just don't see whether mine would matter. Okay, I'll be honest, folks. We're talking all this number jargon, which I'm like, it's not that long. So I guess the article doesn't go on for that long. So I guess I can go ahead. I just don't want to take up a lot of the audience's time with a long article that's going to end up making people fall asleep. So anyway, it says, nearly every day someone expresses surprise that our base case is for the equity market to be down by 10-15%. Why is this so hard to believe? The market ahead, gosh, this is boring. How can someone actually read this stuff? Not fall asleep. Well, okay. Well, I guess it interests some people. Instead, the market has, well, I guess it's important and it interests some people, but I'm just not one of them. So the market has had eight 10% down moves in the last 12 years, Parker said. We think a better question is why more people don't forecast that the next 10 to 15% move is down than up. It says Parker cites weak earning. Okay, I'm trying to see where, I'm sorry, folks, I'm trying to see where this is relevant to the election. Because they're just saying blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Talking all this jargon. Okay. Okay, here we go. It says recent polls. Well, here's the thing. This is interesting. It says recent polls have the race in nearly a dead heat with the Real Clear Politics consensus, putting Obama up by less than 2 percentage points. Now, what I want to say about that is, one, well, are these national polls or are these state polls? Because, frankly, folks, national polls don't need, you know, in a general election, national polls don't mean anything nearly as important as state polls. That is where it is important, because it's going to go state by state according to, you know, who's going to get the Electoral College votes. And that's something I can look in more so, and I could probably discuss that tomorrow night for tomorrow night's show about these polls. So we'll check that out. It says, at the same time, InTrade, the online forum that allows investors to bet on outcomes of various events, has Obama with a firm 57% likelihood of reelection. Okay, that's 7%. Put together, the picture is one of uncertainty, and the electorate and investor population that has made up its mind yet who should be the next president. Now, with, I believe, Tex or Rex from the Tex and Rex Show, which you can find on Blog Talk Radio from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday and Saturday evenings. I believe it was the Tex and Rex, and the interesting thing about them is they both sound alike. they both sound alike. But one of them mentioned that, let's say, well, if there's even a 2-point spread with Obama up, or a 7-point spread with Obama up. Heck, I would contend if those numbers were for Romney, a 2% up for Romney or 7% up for Romney, that number should be a much larger gap. That number should be a much larger gap because I mean, look at the economy. Look at what Obama has said to, you know, other nations. You know, I mean, look how he relies on the teleprompter, which reminds me of a little cartoon I like to put in people's heads. Here's a cartoon for you. You have a national debate, right? The presidential debate. You have Obama standing there with a teleprompter in front of him. And if Romney was to get the nomination, Romney would be there. And instead of a teleprompter in front of him, he would have Newt Gingrich behind him telling him what answers that he should say during the debate. So imagine that picture. So with these polls, I mean, it should be such a huge gap between, you know, the two candidates. But even if it was a 2% or 7% up for Romney, look at the gaffe that you've just, you know, that just happened this weekend. And there's still, you know, how many months? August, September, October. You know, you have 3 full months. And we haven't even gotten to the convention yet, where Romney's already starting to screw up. Let me see if there's anything more important with this, or relevant, I should say, well, with the article. I'm just kind of reading it and giving time for those folks to read it as well. And as I said, if you have pulled it up and you read it and you're in the chat, go ahead and feel free to call in and speak on it or make your comment in the chat. This is interesting. And this tells you about Wall Street, folks. This is why we need this is why we need the people to pick who the candidates are and not Wall Street, because Wall Street, as you well know, does not have the interests of the people. So you know what? You know, so who knows what, you know, what they would put out there. And they put, whoever else says, the fact that the election is so close speaks volumes of how much we are concerned about the current economic situation in the United States. The conventional wisdom indicates that Wall Street would rather see a fiscal conservative Republican win. That's sort of a free market capitalist concept, except for the fact that history doesn't play that out. What's typically better for Wall Street is some sort of gridlock. So I think that's a perfect example of why this needs to be, as Newt Gingrich has said, you know, a campaign for the people. This has to be about the people. Because if it's not, you're going to have folks such as, not just folks, we're going to have organizations such as Wall Street. See, there's big money. There's big money. Look at who endorsed Mitt Romney. You know, Donald Trump. Now, people are like, oh, my, Donald Trump. He endorsed Mitt Romney. Really? That don't come to anything. Some people that it came as a surprise of, you know. I'm not trying to insult people that came as a surprise of. But I'm saying is that, you know, the pundits out there who acted like they were surprised, it's like, really? Why is it surprising that a business mogul like himself, an investor, think about that. He's built some things, but he's an investor, okay, Donald Trump. And so is Romney. So an investor endorsing an investor doesn't come to any kind of shock or surprise to me. So... And as Delicatessa pointed out, says, we need a candidate that knows we are sovereign and that we, the people, are supposed to be in charge. And that's Newt. Well, he's even said from the very beginning of his campaign. You know, and it angers me that these, you know, state for Newt is now for Romney. No, Newt for Newt. These states were for Newt. You know, not these states are not for, you know, for Romney now. I mean, these shows that I've, that are coming up, that are pro-Newt, okay, is a perfect example, you know, of that, of these rooms just switching over to Romney, you know, to a state for, you know, Newt, the state for Romney. You know, and frankly, you know, it bothers me, you know, and I think it's insulting to Newt supporters for a group to be a state for Newt, and then you change it over to a Romney. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, there's people out there still supporting Newt. Hey, how about instead of changing the state for Romney, I mean a state for Newt, and changing it to a state for Romney, create a new group. Create a new group. Because there are so many people out there who are for, you know, Newt, and when they mean for Newt, they're saying we are for Newt to be the next president of the United States. That's what they're for Newt for. They're not for Newt because Newt is supposedly endorsing, supposedly supporting Mitt Romney. Newt Gingrich is doing what he has to do, or else the so-called conservative media will black him out again like they did during the primary. The news got very important things to get, you know, information to get out and bold ideas to get out to the American people and how we can fix our situation that he truly believes in. And he knows, I believe he knows in his heart of hearts that if he wasn't to pull the party line that the way that he is, that they would shut him down in the same manner that the, you know, the so-called conservative media shut him down during the primary. We know it. And let me tell you, this has been planned for a long time. And there was, and I'm going to bring this up to another point I wanted to talk about tonight. And for a long time, I've speculated, not just myself, but others, many others, have speculated that Newt Gingrich's, along with Rick Santorum's and Ron Paul's, and I would really would appreciate, and I believe the audience, both listening live now and people who will be listening later in the archives, will appreciate. If there's someone from the Newt Gingrich campaign, or someone from the Newt Gingrich campaign, or the Romney campaign, or the Santorum campaign that worked for them, or know some information that if not has switched over to the Romney, okay. You know, come into the show, call and be heard. You don't have to give your name, you know. Come in as a guest and then just call in. If you call in, you don't come in the chat, you come in, call in through a different area. Your name's not known if you want to be anonymous. But what the speculation has been is that all these campaigns were infiltrated by Romney, who were actually Romney supporters. And what I mean by that is that some of the people who were in the 2008 campaign for Romney, also in 2012, not also, I'm sorry, but the people in 2008 were working for Romney. In 2012, were working for other candidates. Now, if that cannot be considered a huge conflict of interest, and there are some speculations that there was active sabotage within the campaigns done by, you know, campaign staffers, which that information was corroborated by some people who called into the show last night. And if you haven't heard it, I suggest going to the archives and listening to the show. I believe it was somewhere in the middle of it, somewhere around the hour that someone brought it up, maybe an hour and 15 minutes into the show. And they mentioned that someone from the Santorum campaign related an incident of that. And I would like that someone would come in to talk about that. So this is something that has been planned for a long time. Now, I'll go back to in the chat. The party is doing him dirty, yes, the Republican Party. He really needs to leave and take Sarah and the good people with him, and I would follow them. But, you know, there has been a lot of people who have said that they would like to see Newt Gingrich leave the Republican Party and head up like a constitutional party. Unfortunately, I don't think that would happen. And the reason for that is Newt Gingrich loves the party. He loves the Republican Party. Heck, let's be honest, folks. The Republican Party would be nothing without Newt Gingrich. They just wouldn't. It wouldn't be. Yes, he has fought for the party for 40 years. He brought them the majority when they haven't had that for 40 years. Okay? And look what he's done for the party. Look what he's done for America. I contend, and I've got a clip on the website, if people want to visit the website. Okay, I still got some work to do on it, but on the Get Involved page, I have a clip on there. Okay, and it's got Newt on it. Okay. And you can find the website through the homepage of the show. You can click on it. You can also, if you like the show, click the follow button under the icon. You can follow the show. But that video, I think, illustrates. It's not a long video, but it illustrates, okay, how Newt Gingrich was the candidate of all the candidates, and I would even contend combined, that has done more for the country, or at least more specifically for the Republican Party, than Newt Gingrich. Truly. And then for the Republican Party to, and this is why I'm such against Romney, and why I say, you know, why I say I will never vote for Romney. The only way I would ever vote for Romney is if there's a Newt Gingrich on the ticket, because Newt Gingrich is my nominee, okay? Because I think if anyone's owed, you hear Ann Romney saying, basically, well, it's our turn, pretty, you know, which that's another subject that can be touched on later. Okay. Really? It's their turn? What did Romney do for the Republican Party? And frankly, what did Romney do for the, you know, United States of America? What has he done so that it's their turn? Nothing. Nothing compared to Newt Gingrich. For these Newt Gingrich pages to shift from supporting Newt Gingrich to supporting Romney, I say is an insult to the Newt supporters. Because they're still supporters in many states. There's many states that are represented here tonight. There are many states that are going to be represented on people who look coming to this show on the archive and listen to it. And I bet in these states that people are calling in, or, you know, not calling in, but coming in and listening to the show, or even calling in, are for Newt in four different states. Not four as a number four, but even if that's what they use. But I wasn't trying to do a play on words there. Now, that's what I think. And I think that the reason that they're switching is to continue with this narrative, because they're nervous, because they see these types of things growing, and we need to make it grow even more, because, folks, today is the 30th. Today is the 30th of July. No, yes, it's Monday. Okay, the 30th of July. We have a month, less than a month, to get out the word about a brokered convention. America needs a brokered convention. Not just the Republican Party, but America needs a brokered convention. Okay? So we've got to get it out. Got to get the word out. Okay? Write the RNC. I know sometimes you guys hear me repeat myself, and I apologize for that. Apologize for being redundant. But that's the part we have to play if we're going to see this. And I want to say thank you to everyone who has worked hard for Newt Gingrich, has worked hard for America, is a patriot. And I do see that we are patriots, because we are mocked, we are ridiculed, we are called names. Some of us are threatened. And yet we still fight on. Because I truly feel, as I said, and I use the word feel. Okay, this is part of the talk for a reason. But I feel that, you know, it's only Newt who can bring this country back. And the only way we could do that is through a brokered convention.
Robert?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I had a couple of observations. One
sure,
is, about when you mentioned about Romney and what his experience as governor, the only person who was a candidate and who has been a candidate this in 2012 who's had real broad national experiences, Newt. As Speaker of the House, he had to run a national constituency, and none of the rest of them have been able to do that. And the other is, you know, that are the Democrats, you know, of course, right now they're wasting a lot of their money going after Romney, but do they have a contingency plan so that do they think that see the possibility that Mittens might not get it, and do they have some sort of a contingency plan of going after whoever might succeed him, you know, whoever might be the real nominee? Or do you think this is going to take them caught with, you know, just, you know, and they, I grew up out in cowboy country, you'd say caught with their pants down.
Mm-hmm. So now you're asking what plan B is if Romney gets
nominated? I'm just wondering if the Democrats have a plan B? A plan B in case Romney's not, you know, because they're all going after Romney. But we have a brokered convention.
We nominate
Newt. Do they have a plan B, or do you think they're going to be just totally
their pants down, so to speak? Well, I think, you know what? I'm sure there are people who are from the Obama campaign who are listening to these types of shows. Okay, I'm not necessarily saying that they're listening to this one. They very well could be.
Yeah.
And hello, Obama supporters, if you do, welcome to your show. Maybe you'll hear something very logical here, and it will bring you to constitutional conservatism, you know. I welcome. Come and listen. Come and talk. Because, you know, I mean, I'm open to discussion and dialogue with, you know, liberals, moderates, whatever. I mean, but, you know, they got to be respectful. You know, and if they, you know, come in listening, fine. They might hear something that might click with the logical portion of their brain. You know, but that being said, I think somewhere they have a plan B just in case Romney is not. But here's the thing. Let's say if they do have a plan B. Let's say they do, and they're not caught with their pants down. They're still not going to have the opportunity. See, here's what it is. Here's some analysis I'd like to offer. Is I think they probably have a plan B, but it's not going to be as effective. Okay? Because, one thing that the Obama administration is going to rely on is it's going to rely on negative ads, bashing, okay, which people will say they hate them, but it's effective. Well, one thing that makes them effective is how long they're in use and how long you hear them. So if you have a different nominee than the presumptive nominee, which is Romney, that's going to give them less time to blast on Newt after the convention than they would otherwise if they would have had the same person be the nominee who the presumptive nominee was. So I'm sure they got something in the background, but it's still not going to be as effective because they won't be able to use that tactic for a more extended period of time. Now, some might ask, well, wait a minute. Well, then why don't they just make commercials to blast on Newt Gingrich, too? Or the other, you know, if he looks like he could possibly get it. Because they don't want to do that either. Because if they make negative ads against someone like Newt Gingrich, well, then what that does is that feeds into, you know, into people's minds that, well, hey, look, a broker convention. And the Democrats certainly don't want a broker convention. They want Mitt Romney. They want to run and get Mitt Romney. So, I mean, it would be self-defeating for them to make any negative ads now on someone like a Newt Gingrich. You know what I mean? Even though there's a lot of talk of a brokered convention. Because we know this, the more you hear something, the more you start to believe it. That's why the RNC and the establishment has been putting up Romney's inevitability and Romney's the only one who could beat Obama narrative for so long. Because once you say that over and over and over again, people start to believe that. I mean, that's something, you know, that's what people hear of all the time. You know what I mean? And that's what the establishment has done. So, yes, I think they might have a plan B. I don't think they'd be caught with their pants down. I just don't think that they'd still be able to be as effective because they won't have as much time, you know, for those negative campaigns. I mean, they're going to have to go negative. I mean, what positive can they say? I mean, I heard Obama try to have a thing tonight. I was passing by through the living room, and the TV was on. And I heard a clip where Obama's like, you know, we're going to do this together. I'm in it with you, or something like that. I mean, as I said, I was passing by, so I'm not quoting verbatim what he said on the commercial. You know, so I think they do to answer question, but it won't be as effective. And they're certainly not going to blast on someone like Newt Gingrich now, because they want to feed into the narrative that Romney is the official nominee, because that's who they want to go up against. So I hope that answers your question. If not, ask me some more, and hopefully I can give you some more information. Are you there, Teresa?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. I mean, was that good? Was that satisfactory? If not, I could try to, you know.
No, I'm just curious. But the one thing, too, as I mentioned, besides, of course, in any event, they're wasting a lot of time, energy, and money on targeting Romney. But I agree with you that in fact, I'm trying to do, and when on Facebook and emails and everything, and Twitter is to keep a simple message and to keep repeating it. The brokered convention, open convention, and just a few simple things, because and just repeating them over and over again. And as you said, you know, that eventually things like this sink in, and conditioning people for it, a brokered convention. The mm-hmm. other thing is that you brought up that I met was about Romney's limited experience, and of course I mentioned about Newt, because who else is there, anyone else who is running for president this year? If you can go back to all the people in the primaries, has any one of them had the broad national experience of leadership and of policy making that Newt has as Speaker of the House? I mean, he totally brought about a revolution. He balanced the budget. He had to work with people from all sorts of constituencies. He had to look at the total picture of 435 different districts, and a lot of people, you know, they keep playing up about Romney's business experience, but they don't. A lot of people just are not totally thinking in terms of how much more broad and deep and applicable would be a Newt's experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And also, Newt, you know, then we talk about job creation. I mean, Newt had a big hand in creating 11 million jobs. I mean, I don't think Romney could tout that, even in his quote unquote vast business experience. I'll play devil's advocate here. Let's say, you know, Romney is a great businessman. Let's say he created a lot of jobs. Now, believe me, you know, while jobs are very important, I understand that, because that's the vehicle, you know, for the economy. There's certain other things that need to be looked at, such as foreign policy, such as statesmanship, and Obama. Through what you the folks have heard earlier, that Obama is he isn't either, but Romney certainly isn't a statesman. I mean, look how he blundered, and I mean, seriously, if you can screw up London, mm-hmm. one of our biggest allies, what are you going to do when you're in the face of the enemy?
Yeah, one thing that came out today that I saw an article that Romney is heavily invested in Iran, I guess, through his companies.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yes. I'll have to search it down, but I was, on my way to and from the funeral, I had my iPad, and I was trying to catch up on some, you know, on news and stuff, and I read something that a handicap for Romney in dealing with Iran is that he is heavily invested in Iran, money-wise.
Hmm.
And so, you know, so that's something we really should track down because
yeah, definitely. Whatever information you have on that, I would really appreciate if you forward that over to me.
Okay.
We're Facebook friends, so I believe you could just send me some information on that.
Sure, I could.
If we're talking about Middle East stuff, I know Sammy Sanford's got a special guest on tonight.
Really?
Yes, and he's coming in at I believe right when the show starts. So I suggest people tonight to go to Sam Sanford's show to check that out. And of course, you can find it here on Blog Talk Radio, but you can also find it on Newt Now, which you can go to Facebook. If you're on Facebook, and just go to the search engine, put Newt Now as one word up there, and it'll take you to that page. But if you're not on Facebook, you can still get to Sammy's show, which is through Newt Now, but through the website, through my website, and all you have to do is go to the homepage of this show, and then you can click on the website, and on the About the Show, you can scroll down, and there's a link going to the Conservative Conversation, we call it, where you can find his Sammy's show, which, being, you know, I think I might have saw him in the chat. So, Sammy, if you'd like to call in and give a plug-in for your show tonight, that would be great. Go ahead and excuse me and do that. And also, for the people who are new, if you'd like to follow the show, you can also go to the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk and just click the little follow button that's underneath the icon, and you can follow as well. So if Sammy calls in, I'm trying to, if he's still in the chat, because I thought I saw him in the chat, he can call in and talk about what he's got going on tonight.
Okay, will do.
Great. So one thing I want to let the guest know before Sammy comes in. Oh, I'm never mind. I thought I saw him, but I'll keep the my page on the switchboard for when he comes in. Is for people who have stayed to the end of this show on any occasions, you have heard a song sung by an Aubrey Ashburn. If people are familiar with me talking about her, putting her website up, or just bringing it up in the here. Yeah, he's doing a Iron Fist. Thank you for putting the link up. There you go. That'll get to his Winnie Newt Money Bomb, and that is for tomorrow. That's a link to tomorrow's show, it looks like. But you can just put a 30 where you see the 31 on that link, and it'll just take it to tonight's show. So there you go for people in the chat. There's a quick link to Sammy's show tonight. But back to what I was talking about is if you listen to the end of this show and you hear the music, Aubrey Ashburn, I'm actually have been in contact with her, and I have slotted for August the 9th, which is a Thursday. She has agreed and said she would be happy to do an interview. So I'm really excited about that. I really like her music. And, she's also interested in environmental protection, which that's one of the issues or topics we cover on Thursdays on Bard's Logic Political Talk. We talk about environmental issues, and that is an interest of hers. So we're going to talk about her career. We're going to talk about her music, and we're going to talk about environmental protection on Thursday night, August the 9th. And the show's 8 to 10. She won't be on for the whole time, but I'll probably have some more more clips of her music on that night show. So I'm very excited about it. I want to have a big showing for her. So people, come in on August 9th to listen to the interview. I'd really appreciate it. And, yes, this show is about 21 minutes from now, where I'm going to try to call in actually there as well as soon as I'm able. I've got to do some family stuff real quick before I do that, but since he's got the guest on there, I'm going to try to call in as soon as I can. So, well, I see Sammy in the chat, but let me check I want to go back to the studio here, if the computer lets me. It's acting up, which is unfortunate. Oh, now I see why. Okay. While I'm doing the show, one of the things I do, because we hear Blog Talk Radio, at least for my show, I am the host and the staff, so I do my own research and get all this stuff together. Not like a new, Rush Limbaugh or anyone like who has someone who's actually, doing a show prep for them. I do that myself and get all the information. But also during the show, what I do is I go to different pages, especially if someone puts a link in the clip. In the chat, and I go to that, but unfortunately what has looked like that has happened is it's frozen this dinosaur of a computer that I use, and of course, now it's not responding. So I apologize for that, and I need to get that exchanged sometime, but right now it's not within the realm of feasibility to get a new computer. So, at least in this office, I might have to change it somewhere else. So, go ahead, Trace. If you got anything else you want to chime in about, I'm trying to deal with this technical difficulty that I'm experiencing. So, if you got anything there, or if anyone, I can't even see anything in the chat. So, I apologize for that. I mean, excuse for the silence, folks. I'm working on something here. So, I don't know why he keeps doing that. Okay, well, you guys get to have fun here. Listen to me do some technical work here on Blog Talk Radio, some of the interesting phenomenon that we have to deal with here while we're working on the shows. And I appreciate for people who will bear with me. If I can get this going. Okay. Well, what I'm going to have to try to do is, here's the process, is we are going to have to see if I got, since I've got time here. You know what's going to happen, folks, is I'm going to have the other thing all hooked up and working, and then it's going to have to, and then this computer will work. You know what? Look at that. Of course, I knew that was going to happen. Let's see. If it's fixed. No. Unfortunately not. I thought it was. So let's see what we can do here. See, this is organic programming right here. You get to hear live how things happen what sometimes we hosts have to deal with in order to get information out to you. So let's see what I can get here. Like angry daughters because she's watching cartoons. Okay. Hold on. So anyway, the other computer is off. As I said, organic programming. So let me see what I can get. I apologize, folks. I might have to close the show off early this evening because of this. I really hope not. I've got to get this fixed. I can guarantee that I'm going to have this. Organic electronics, yes. Actually, I am using... Have you ever seen the movie... what was that movie? Avatar. Yeah, that's what I've got. I use live plants that actually use their physio, electro, whatever. Too bad, so sad. Oh, really, that wasn't very nice. I think I've got things going here. And excuse me, that movie is propaganda. Well, you know what, but it was a beautiful movie. So, hold on, folks. All righty. There we go. I think I got everything. Thank you very, very much, folks. I'm going to have to figure out what's going on here. I didn't have any problems until I had this one site I went to, so I'm wondering if I've had any problems stemming from the use, or not the use, but you're going to a site. It was actually a blog, and I talked to the person from the blog, and they said somehow they had some kind of glitches. And I'm hoping that that glitch didn't transfer its way over to this computer. So that's definitely something I'm going to have to check out in the very near future. But I really appreciate everyone who has stayed in. And, okay, the last thing, when I hear Avatar, no, that's, yeah, I know about the, well, as an environmentalist, I love the movie. I particularly don't like the politics of it, you know, of the show. I mean, but it was a beautiful movie. I'm talking about the scenery was beautiful, and you know the scenes, you know, were real pretty. I liked all that glowing, you know, like glowing the dark plants and stuff like that. I always thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, I like that. But yeah, the politics of it, and you know, the unobtainium, and yeah, I understand that. Now I hear they're working on another one, which would be great because, as I said, maybe that it won't be so political in the next one. I don't know, but we'll see. But you know, we're not here to talk on Avatar. Yeah, and I see my little foray into Blog Talk Radio, or at least my not Blog Talk Radio, that there falls the computer freezing up. What it did is I had, as I said, I was bringing up. Maybe I should refrain from doing so. I was bringing up some links while, you know, I'm doing all this, and this computer just can't handle all of that. So maybe I should refrain from doing that as well. So, but for the people who did stay, I appreciate the few staying on. I do see some people that have not, that have gone, but, you know, that happens. And since I was speaking about Aubrey Ashburn tonight, and you guys had to deal with all this silence, I would like to, let's see, give you a, not the end, of course, I always play the clip, but there's another song I have on here that I'd like to play for the audience if I can find it, because I actually have a pretty extensive audio file here, which is good. It took a while to get it all, but it's great to have. I'm not trying to get Sammy to come in to talk about a show, but he's probably already getting some show prep done. So, there we go. So, here you go. We'll probably just, you know, not end it with this, because I like to play the last song, but here is an example of one of Aubrey Ashburn's songs, another one, and it's on the same soundtrack that I play the ending song from. And as I said, I'm going to be interviewing her on August 9th. That's the night we're shooting for. Well, things change and how that can be, but right we're looking at August 9th. So that's, you know, what I'm scheduling. But here is an example that you might not have heard of Aubrey Ashburn. If this will play. There we go. Thank you. Okay, folks, I feel much better now, much more relaxed. Thank you very much for indulging me.
So anyway, I'm going to sign off now.
Okay, well, thank you very much, for Teresa, for coming in. I really appreciate your input and coming on the show, and I look forward to hearing you again.
Well, maybe next time I'll be more wide awake than I am right now.
Oh, no, that's okay. I understand. No problem. Thank you very much, and get some rest.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Good night. That's a nice lady right there. She's one of my Facebook friends. So I really appreciate her input. And the people talking in chat, I appreciate yours too. Thank you, Cindy, the Iron Fist also. See ya, Deli Contesta. Yep, it's about 7 minutes till 10. I suggest if you can, go to Samuel Sanford's show at, his show. And you also, there's a Mark Preissig show tonight as well that you can go to at, especially if you're a night owl like myself, from midnight to 2. I shall be on both of those shows this evening. Don't know exactly what time I'll be on, but I will be on. So I appreciate it for you coming in. And I hope to see everyone next time. And also, as I said, you just heard Aubrey Ashburn. And I got a date from her today on August 9th. It's a Thursday. I really like to have a really great showing for her. So her people can come in. And once again, if you like the show, then go ahead and you can follow it. I know there's some people who are in here tonight who have already done so. So you can go to the homepage of this show and just click follow. And there you go. I need a link from Mark. Well, I'll tell you what, Deli Contessa, go to the homepage of the show. And I know I've been pushing, talked about the web push, and maybe I don't like the push, but maybe if people don't think I am, about the website. So, which I will give it to you in Sammy's show. See, I was going to send it to Lugnut. I was going to send it to this show's website where there's a link that will take her to both Sammy's show and Mark's show. But that's okay. You guys could do it any way you'd like. You can either, do it Lugnut and show, or you can, go through the website and see some of the clips. Actually, you can on the website, you can see a clip to the opening song and a video that has the lyrics to the closing song in it as well. You can see that on the website, too, as long as getting links to Sammy's show and Mark Preissig's show. Well, with that, folks, I guess I will close a little bit earlier, just a couple minutes. It's already 5 till, and the closing song is about 2.5 minutes. So I'd like to take this time to thank everyone for coming into the chat. I apologize for the technical difficulties I have, but that's part of the organic experience of having a show. So you get to see what happens live behind the scenes for one of the hosts on how what can happen sometimes. So, while it was quiet and maybe hopefully a little interesting, to see how things work a little bit. So hopefully, that was, even though, not on point, hopefully it's at least interesting for the folks. And also, like I said, thank everybody for coming in. Thank you for being patient for those who stayed on. And I want to thank you who have come in on the archives to listen to the show. And I will talk to you later, too, as well, Contessa. And for the people who are the guests here that cannot contribute to the chat, I want to thank you very much. And please enjoy this next song, which is the closing song I like to play. And this is from Aubrey Ashburn as well, who you just heard. Good night, folks. Take care, and hope to see you again.